Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. If you've got your Bible this morning, let's open it up to the book of Colossians. And chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but there are many verses that rhyme with 3:16 in our Bible that we've often memorized or often find to be key verses. I've investigated that a little bit, and it's almost like in some of the books that are written, 3:16 is where they hit the main theme of what's going on. And so we want to look at Colossians 3:16, and I want today to talk a little bit about our music. For three areas again, music in our own life, music in our own personal life, and then music for our church, Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and then music in general, some good understanding and rules about music. There is a evangelist singer that I copied some of this outline from, Mark Rogers. I don't know if you ever heard him. He preached out at Shane and Kathy's church out in Anchor Baptist in Maslin, and they knew him very well, and I had several of his messages I stole from my grandson who taped them. And so he preached a message on godly music. Again, that's something that's caused the downfall of a lot of churches. That's something, again, that's caused the downfall of a lot of Christians. That's something that's caused the compromise of a lot of Christianity, a lot of churches, a lot of Baptist churches even, to understand that we've got to be careful about the music that we have in our worship, especially in our church in general. In our own personal lives, that music can be something that allows in things that ought not be in a Christian's life. And so there's all kinds of messages. I've heard probably most of them on music, and I'll not make too much reference to them here today, except some of you have heard of backmasking again, that they play music backwards and it has a secret satanic message. And I've tried that and haven't found any reality in it. I did find out that if you play country music backwards, you'll get your dog back, and you'll get your truck back, and you get your wife back, and you get your life back again. But that's pretty much it. And so there's when I was a young, I forgot, I guess we were married at the time and in another church, but came through that any song that has a beat and you can dance to it is evil. It's of the devil. And so there's a church that we know of and Ken that we won't talk about who just went crazy to rip tear every song out of their worship that had a beat and you could dance to it again. And so when they hit the point where they threw out Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, because it's got a beat to it, I'm thinking, I'm not sure that that's a good rule, you know. So music does have rhythm, and that's a good thing, okay? And so all these subjective rules that have come out that why you shouldn't sing this music, I've heard most of them, and I didn't really like any of them. And so I'm not going to give you a repertoire of that list. Instead, let me go ahead and give you this good rule of guidance. For a Christian, for a Bible Christian, we should have a sole authority in our lives. I heard Dr. McGee preach this week, and he mentioned that the catechism says... listen, I don't care what a catechism says myself, okay? I don't care what a creed says. We care about what this book says. And so what this book says about music is a lot, again. And so I want that we would, as our sole authority for faith and practice and what good music is, we want to use this authority right here. And so we want to do that here this morning and look at that. And I found no greater source than here. Most of us here can quote, or most of us I could sing, Colossians 3:16 again. And so I think the Runyons started that, singing again that tremendous verse. And so we know it. So when we get down to it in our reading... we'll just read it, okay, rather than sing it. But let's stand for the reading of God's Word and look at this. Remember, my focus is going to be on music that glorifies God and honors God in our life, in our church, in our worship, and how to have the music that's proper in our lives. Now, Colossians chapter 3 deals with all of our life, and so I don't want to narrow it down to only look at music, but I do want that we would keep somewhere in our mind as I read this section that this is going to apply to the music that we have in our lives. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1, and you follow along as I read down through verse 17 of Colossians and chapter 3. The Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." I like the "if ye." This is speaking to born again believers. And so you got to fit in that "if ye" here to try on the rest of this chapter. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Praise the Lord. Verse 5. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication." I wished I'd learned this when I was a teenager. That word right there, again, there's a lot of debate, different definitions. And I don't even like some of the definitions I found. But what I found when I broke the word down is anything that's sexually foreign to what God wants would be fornication. If it's sexually, if it's got a sexual connotation, And if it's foreign to what God has in His Word and what God expects for mankind, it is fornication. That's a good rule right there. That's a good remembrance. And the reason I guess I've liked it so much is because you can't get away from it. When you read that word, it's got foreign engrafted in there again. So here we have fornication, comma, uncleanness, comma, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Notice again that most of those have to do with sexual sins in our lives. Even covetousness could narrow down to that category. And the other word is idolatry. I also learned that if you break that down, it includes the word idol. And so idol means you're doing nothing. Idolatry is worshiping something that does nothing again. A word likeness that helps us keep in memory what that is. And so covetousness, which is idolatry, verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. And so we lived back then in those things. If you got saved in a later time in your life, you lived them and remembered them. I got saved when I was 8. I lived those things, but I don't remember too much of them. I don't remember very much before I was 8. I don't hardly remember yesterday. So notice here again that we lived there. That's where we were at one time in our lives. Verse 8, but now. Verse 8. But now, praise the Lord, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Notice that all of them are pretty well connected to our tongue as well. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. Remember where we're going with this. We're looking at the music that we use for entertainment, the music that we use for church, the music that we use for worship, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of them, of Him that created him. Let me say that again. And have put on the new man here, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created. See that second Him there is that new man. In other words, He's the one who created the new man that's inside of us. Praise the Lord. So I like a pronoun clarification when I read that verse. Sometimes I got to read it a couple times to get that straight in my head. He created the new man inside of us. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all, and Christ is in all. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow, we got a drum roll on that one, all right. It was two verses early because I stalled so much here. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Okay, let's have a drum roll and let's all read verse 16 and 17 aloud and together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, having thanks to God and the Father by Him. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you again, Father, for this charge that's given to us for living our Christian lives and also for singing our songs to you. And I pray again that you'd bless your word and give it a power that would divide the thoughts and intents of our heart. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Wow, we could almost just say amen and dismiss right there with the message that's in those scriptures about our life. But I want again for a moment to look at an application to that in our music, in godly music. Here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, I'm not too concerned about bringing in a rock band, okay, that we'd fall into that. I had a preacher who refused any rhythm section at all in his church, and so he had a group come in and said, "Is it okay if we sing over a background tape? We want a background tape." And of course, any of the background tapes all have a whole rhythm section or orchestra or something in them again. And he said, "No, that's fine. You can sing over a background tape." And so they came to sing, and he said, "Where's your background tape?" And he said, and he took the background tape and he took it down and laid it on the altar and said, "Okay, now I want you to sing over your background tape." Yeah. It didn't work out well again for that group at our church. But you get to understand that we've always got to be a little bit careful about our music. And the music that invades a Christian's life will eventually invade his church. And so, again, being careful about our own music that we listen to. And so these rules that I want to give right out of this chapter that we read have to do with having godly music in our lives and in our church. And again, to understand that music has a purpose in our services here. Music is an important part. Again, I've heard Baptist preachers that just want to get the music done so they can get to the important thing, the preaching of God's word. And again, trying to say that the singing is not that important. The singing is important. And when we sing hymns here, I mean, you look at the messages in the songs that we sang this morning. There's good theology in there. There's good doctrine in there. There's good teaching in there. And again, that's important that we have that in our worship service. And lots of times, you get plenty of gospel out of the... Wait for it. There's a big boom coming after that again. So anyway, out of our music here. And even here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, where we don't have a piano player or a rhythm section, and again, that we have music that follows these rules again of the Bible to again establish that during our worship service that we sing unto the Lord. I cut and pasted out, what did I say, 61 psalms that talk about singing, okay? And so I thought, wow, that is so great. And so I pasted all of these into my text-to-speech free converter and had them read all of these verses to me. I got down to chapter 90-something, and it said, you're only allowed 5 minutes a day of text to otherwise you have to pay them money to use their app now. Again, things are like that nowadays. So anyway, in 5 minutes, they read half of this sheet. And so I'd not take the full 15 minutes it'd take me to read it. But let me hit you with a couple of them anyway. 61 psalms found via a search with Sing with the Star. Anything with singing, singers. And the Bible says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalms 9, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. Verse chapter 13, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. 18, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Chapter 21, be thou exalted, O Lord, in mine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Verse chapter 27, I offer his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Chapter 30, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And so notice again here that I could go on. We are commanded to sing. We are charged that we sing, that we have a new song in our heart. And so again, we ought to have that. If you can't sing, but what you or can't carry a tune in the bucket, you know what the Bible says about that? Sing. and deal with it again. I was listening again to Evangelist Mark Rogers go on about one of the best song leaders he ever had was one who couldn't sing. He was always flat, monotone. He was a horrible singer. But boy, he had an enthusiasm, and he sang so badly that everybody tried to sing louder than he could so that they'd cover up his singing again. But again, it was the excitement of singing songs that caused that he was a good song director. Let me just say, and I was watching this morning to make sure our song service fit this message, that normally when we start a song service, I've been in churches that if they'd have sung one more verses, we'd all been sound asleep, okay? I've been in churches that sing, Amazing Grace. Now, they might have been right on tune and everything, but listen, our music ought to have some life to it, some excitement in it. And this morning, we started with, I didn't memorize the list you had there, but we started and included the first two songs were vibrant, were exciting, were, again, had a... do I dare say this? A beat to them, had a rhythm to them, had a excitement to them, and we ought to do that. And then the last one we sang there, just before the preaching of God's Word, was Alas and Did My Savior Bleed and Did My Sovereign Die. It's got a seriousness to it. It's got to settle down now. We're going to hear from God in message. And we want to, again, just have a focus on the holiness of God. A focus and reverence towards God. Normally in a song service, we want that. We want something that wakes you up. It wakes you up when we first start worshiping. And then it puts you to sleep just before the preach. No, that's not it. It holds a holy reverence, is how I meant to say, just before, again, as we close the service. And so, again, when we close the service, it's pointed out that we want music that brings people in. And again, that's all wrong. We don't want a music that brings people in, especially brings the world in. Because they're looking for entertainment. These rules that we have given here in this section of Scripture ought to be followed. And so notice again that first off, our music that we listen to, our music that we have in our church, our music that we worship with ought to, number one, glorify God. Glorify God. Lift up His name. All these verses that I listed out here and could have read through the whole list. I was going to put this on WhatsApp, all 60 verses, but I thought that's kind of abuse of WhatsApp. I could just put the references down, but then you'd have to look them all up, and you lose the harmony of reading them all one on top of another. But notice again that we're to sing unto God, ye kingdoms of earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord, Selah, that we are again to glorify God. All of our singing, all of our songs ought to point not to me, ought to point not to how good we feel. It ought to all point to Him, that it should magnify and glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:3. I'll quote it. I'll misquote it here so you can look it up later. 1 Corinthians 10:3 says something to the effect of, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so throw in there a little bit of music too. And if we have music in our lives, it ought to all be to glorify God. Number two, Christian / church / worship music should direct thoughts towards godliness. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says some things we ought to think on. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I didn't give you the whole list there, but again, notice again, those are things that we ought to think on, and I'll substitute in there that those are things we ought to sing on as well. They ought to be things, again, that's wholesome and in our life. The things that, again, occupy our mind should, again, you understand that they're going to show up in our life. It's amazing what singing does as a teaching tool. It's amazing what you learn by singing. Beverly and I cut our teeth teaching in junior church, Sunday school and junior church and children's programs. And that's where I learned to play the guitar. Was just to accompany children's songs, and it was easy back then. It's amazing how much, even the Runyon songs, it's amazing when you're reading your Bible and you run into one of their songs, the verses that they put in song, you've got that verse memorized again. And so I sent out a list of all of the psalms that we like to sing here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And again, each of them, when we have them in our heart, it's amazing how many times they show up in our life. And we've memorized Scripture through singing, through songs. And so music is a very powerful tool to get things into our mind and to keep things in our mind. And let me go ahead and emphasize again that that tool works from things that we used to listen to that did not honor and glorify God. When that tune comes on, many of us can just recite all the words of that song, even though it's not magnifying God by any means sometimes. In fact, sometimes it's derogatory towards God. Let me also go ahead and throw in here that there's not much done in our country that fits either one of these two things. I don't think there's anything done in Hollywood that glorifies God. There's nothing in Hollywood that directs our thoughts towards God. There's no music industry in America that glorifies God and directs our thoughts towards a holy God. In fact, even the church music that you can buy, the church music that's for sale, is not for sale because it does those two things. It's for sale because it's popular and it's profit-driven. Unless you get it from a singing group like the Fitches or the Overtons or the... give me a couple more singing groups there. They go church to church again. Right. And the what?
Right.
The Craigs again, some of the quartets that we've had here. They sell CDs, and that's good music to have in your home and in your lives. But if you just go down to the Christian bookstore, I don't think there's a Christian bookstore in Yates County, but if you were to find a Christian bookstore and go in and rifle through their music, it's all profit motivated. It's stuff that sells because of popularity, and they can get a kickback and money off that. That's what the whole system's about. And so our music for worship, our music for church, our music for our personal lives ought to glorify God, and it ought to direct our thoughts towards godliness, not towards sinfulness, not towards the things of this world. And so we can see that emphasis here in the text that we read, that that ought to be for all of our lives, and certainly it applies to our music. Third thing here we have is that church music, Christian music, worship music should reflect that I am a new creature. 2 Corinthians is chapter 5 and verse 17, we've all known, is that old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And listen, our music ought to reflect a new life in Christ. I'm going to pause right there for a minute, if I could, and explain that when we pick our music to worship with, and when we pick our music that we like to listen to, listen, it might be very offensive to somebody else because they came from a rock background and a rock rebellion background. And when they hear that, that brings them back to memories of rock. That brings them back to memories of evil. And so when we say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that music, listen, understand that there are people out there that have been addicted and in bondage to some of that. And trust me, they see something wrong with it. And we need to be careful on our side that our music shows a change in our life, a new creature, and it does it for others around us as well, that old things are passed away, including the old music lines we used to listen to, and all things are become new. And so when we're trying to again demonstrate that, hey, I've got a new life in Christ, our music needs to be new. There needs to be a new song in our heart, the Bible says. And so again, using music again to honor and glorify God in our worship, in our church, and in our individual lives ought to fit those three categories. One more that I like to get in here, and that is found in Haggai chapter 2. Haggai, if you start at Malachi and go backwards a couple books, you run into Zechariah. Haggai, just before Zechariah, chapter 2. Haggai, find chapter 2 of Haggai, and let's look at some verses there that will help us in this category and also in many, many categories of our life. Haggai chapter 2, let's go ahead and take our reading, starting there, I think, in verse 11. No, let's start in verse 10. In the 24th, Haggai chapter 2, verse 10, in the 24th day of the 9th month of the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, now let's stop right there and set the timing. And notice again that the timing is important, is emphasized by God when he gave this illustration. And it is them coming out of the Babylonian captivity, coming out from Babylon and going back into the promised land. And so again, there's going to be now a separation from the world where they were in bondage, and they're going to go back and live in the promised land. That's the stage that's set here when Haggai is preaching. And so notice what it says, the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be clean? Shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. And so notice here that the clean does not sanctify the unclean. And the unclean destroys, that's a wrong word, defiles. The unclean defiles what is clean. And so when I'm flipping through the radio stations and I come to a Christian radio station, I can't stay there. I can't stand it. All they do is play rock music, unclean, and they try to put in lyrics that are clean, supposedly. So they take these lyrics and stick them into unclean music and say, there, this is Christian rock. And understand this, that God doesn't have no Christian rock. Rock is synonymous with rebellion and hatred, and again, that's all the means that Satan has used to send out his rebellious sort of anarchy, and now we're going to take and fix it, make it clean by putting in lyrics about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it makes me sick. When I listen to some of that and some of the lyrics, they try to put in some vulgar old music and try to fix it that way. Listen, the unclean defiles the clean. The clean does not sanctify the unclean. Listen, we could have that in our own life and watch for that. That when we're living a holy life, it don't take much to defile that. The same thing as parents here, you taught it to your children to be careful of their friends, because how is it that works out? The unclean defiles the clean always. Solomon learned that with many wives, that the unclean always defiles the clean. And so here we have that as a general rule, and I thought that was kind of cute the way it was illustrated there by God to make sure that we had that down in print so we'd always keep that in mind. Here he's emphasizing it for them coming out of the Babylonian captivity and going back into the promised land, that don't take a bunch of dirt with you. Let's keep it clean and understand. And I was curious about this passage that in his illustration, he didn't even have that you were carrying it in your hand. He's got it lost someplace in the hem of their skirt. I still don't get that, so I won't touch on it. I'll just mention it so you know that I don't get it, okay? But I do understand the principle here is that we got to be careful that the unclean makes our music unclean. And it does that. So some of the things about rhythm, about background music, there's been a group of grunt that runs around that says, hey, we don't like classical music, or we don't like contemporary music. And they try to say that, hey, all of your music was contemporary at one time. And so get over your despise of contemporary music. I will not get over my despise of contemporary music. Just like I will not be using a contemporary Bible, okay? There's a reason for that. It's because I don't trust the hands that have put it together. And so it is for contemporary music. It's been called, 7-11 music? Seven words repeated 11 times. It's getting very shallow. It's usually connected with some kind of a rock beat, rock music. And so being careful of and guarded against what has been called contemporary music. They can also go back and find hymns like Amazing Grace. I don't know if you knew this. Amazing Grace was the tune of that song was sung by blacks in the slave trade. And so they put a song together, a melody, that you could play on a piano without touching any white keys. And I didn't practice it, so I won't play it for you. But Amazing Grace, you could play the whole song without ever touching a white key on the piano, and it was put together by black on the slave ships. Again, that's what they sung, is that tune. And who was it? John Newton, I believe, that wrote that again, was a slave trader. When he wrote that again, he put it to a tune that was the tune's world, a tune of the world, a tune of the slaves that they sang. And so a lot of the songs that we sing, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, come from old black songs again that was written in slavery. That doesn't make them evil again. And so it's not like taking evil and adding it to good. And so a lot of the tunes of our hymnal come from old bar songs in England. And that melody, that tune, again, was then taken from that environment and put together in our hymnals. And so I'm saying that just because of its roots, just because it's contemporary, that isn't what makes songs dangerous. It is this, four things. Number one, does it glorify God? Number two, does it lead your thinking towards a holy God? Number three, does it show that I've got a new life in Christ and old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new? And fourth, is it does not carry the filth of the world in any form or format. And so those are good rules for music in our church, music in our worship, music in our lives. As I said again, and I want to emphasize that music is important. Here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, we're not great singers. We don't have great musicians on the instruments, but music is important. And the music, as far as setting a stage for our worship, is important. The music, as far as setting the teachings of what we believe, is important. The music, as far as, again, handling our moods. Music is mood music, if I could say that. It changes our moods. It changes our emotions. It has an effect on us. And we need to realize that that effect should glorify God. It should, again, lead our thoughts to God. It should signify that old things are passed away and I've got a new song in my heart. And it should, again, stay away from the unclean. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for its clarity. I thank you for our singing, even at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Thank you again that we could have an enthusiasm in our singing, a love for you, a magnification of your name, a directing of our thoughts towards you in everything that we'd sing. And Father, that you would again just cause here that our thoughts would be centered on you as we sing praises to your name. And we'll praise you again and thank you, Father, for helping us to have even a soul authority about what music we have in our lives, that it would line up with your direction, your word, and your instruction in our lives. And we'll give you the praise. Thank you that you did make us a new creature, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and you've put a new song in our heart. Help again each one of us, Father, that we could get that song out and lift up your name in praise and in song. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand and we'll dismiss in prayer. No, we did pray. We'll dismiss in a song, a chorus again. Boy, it's good to be saved. And I want that our music would reflect that. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. One more. Psalm 68 says, sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. Lord bless you for worship.
Lava, but this is one of the kind of rocks that buried Pompeii.
Just like that other one you gave me, that little pebble. Yeah, all right. Thank you, Dave. Hey, let me say, too, I appreciate your leading us in here.
Oh, okay.
That's a big help.
I tell you, Pastor, when I go to the lighthouse and see that Brother Early, I just can't do it like him, but I am. He is. That's great. That's the way the enthusiasm he has.
Yeah, they...